Yesterday we learned the two dinim of Ushmartem Esamatzos, the one dinim of Shimur Mechimutz, and the second dinim of Asiyah Lishma. So the Shimur Mechimutz was a machloikes amaroim in the Gemara Mem Amar Aleph going over to Amid Beis, whether we really require Shimur all the way back Mishas Kitzira, Meikoroi, Shimur Meikor, Mitchilos about Tsoifa Binur, all the way back, that's the last line, Amem Amar Aleph, or it's sufficient with Shmur Mishas Lisha. And then what part needs Asiyah Lishma? That's only the part Asiyah Samatzis means in the Sinas Amayim, with the Lisha, with the Aricha, with the Afiyah putting into the oven. The lighting of the fire in the oven doesn't have to be done Lishma, but the Asiyah Samatzis has to be done Lishma. So on that machlokes, whether Shmur Mishas Ketzira, Shmur Mishas Lisha, so l'chatchila we machma for Shmur Mishas Ketzira, and Bishas Hatrag. If you have no choice, so Shmura Mishas Lisha would be sufficient. The Rosh comes up with a compromise, Shmura Mishas Tchina. Where in the world does that come from? What's up with Shmura Mishas Tchina? So the commentaries explain, because in the days of the Rosh, they used to use a water mill. And when the mill would be turning, the water would be splashing all over the place. So the water would be splashing. There's a possibility the water is going to be splashing into the flour. So that's like Shmura Mishas Lisha. When the flour comes in contact with the water, that's when the din of Shima Mechimutz sets in. Today they don't use water mills. In America they use electrical mills. Yeah. So we mentioned the Mishnah on Daf.
Do we need Mishas because
No, you have to be careful that they don't soak the flour. In the days of the Gemara, they used to wash off the flour. They used to wash off the kernels of grain before they ground it up. That's called lisiso. So that's a machlokes, a mem amar aleph. So one Amora says, mitzvah liltos. You have to dafke bleach the grain. You have to wash it off before you grind it up, because if you're not going to do lisiso, so what is there to watch out for? So what's the shmura? Shmura means you have to live dangerously. You have to have it come in contact with water and see to it that it doesn't become chametz. So the Gemara rejects that. Do we say it's not proper to do lisis? Aye, but where's your shmira? When you mix in the water. So when you do the lisha, you have to mix in water in order to make it into dough, in order to bake it. So you mix in the water, so you have to be careful not to leave it sitting too long. That's the shmura. But we hold it's not proper to do lisisa. B'dieved, if you did lisisa, it doesn't aser. So now, since the 1500s, the practice is that not only do they do the regular bleached flour in America and in most countries in the world, most developed countries in the world, so they have bleached flour, so not only do they wash off the kernels of grain in advance, they soak the kernels of grain for a long time. So that's what the Radvaz, since the 1500s, they all write, that now lisisa is a problem, that you shouldn't use bleached flour at all. Some say that it's chametz dog and gomer, and some think that it's chametz nuksha, that the beginning of the chametz process may have begun. It's a problem. So you have to be careful not to use bleached flour at all. In Russia, there is still, years ago, there were still some areas in Russia where they didn't have bleached flour. But in most places in the world, they do have all the normal flour is bleached flour. So for Pesach, you have to make sure that you have Pesach dikah flour, that it was not washed off with water. In America, around 10, 15 years ago, there was a whole scandal. The flour companies wanted to make more money, so they were selling you a bag that said that it's 5 pounds of flour. It only had 4 3/4 of pounds of flour, and they put in drops of water to weigh it down. So they put in as much water as they can get away with without the customers noticing that there was an awful lot of water. So it weighed 5 pounds, but it weighed 5 pounds because of the water, not because of the flour. So they put in mamish water into the flour, and there was a concern that a mamish became chametz. The government finally caught them, and they penalized all of the flour companies for cheating on the public, that they were advertising they're selling 5 pounds of flour. It wasn't true. So that flour, that wasn't kosher, the paste of flour. That was regular bleached flour. So that was a real problem. That may have been chametz dog and gomer. Okay. We mentioned the two mishnayos on mem ches on the base. The second mishnah has a double machlekes of beauty, Reb Meir. Seor is the beginning of the chametz process, and siduk is the gemara of the chametz process, when it rose so much that it already has cracks on top. It's already too big. So siduk the chayv koris. If you eat, that's called chametz dog and gomer. And seir is the beginning of the chametz process, and that's called chametz nukshin. And that seir is a machlekes ramei rabbiu. There's one machlekes ramei rabbiu. What's the beginning of the process? What is the gemar of the process? And then there's another machlekes. If you eat something on Pesach, that's the beginning of the chametz process. Is that an isa deraisa, or is that only an isa derabbanan? So one case we have, yeah. So how long is that? Takes, if you mix flour with water, it takes a long time till it turns into chametz. So we usually assume 18 minutes. Where does that magical number come from? 18 minutes? Chaitzim leben magematria. So the 18 minutes comes from Mem Vav Amud Aleph. The Mishnah, the two Mishnah is there, Mem Vav Amud Aleph, the first Mishnah in the middle of the Amud. So it says if you have a dough and you don't know if it became chametz or not, so you got to be careful not to eat it on Pesach. So the Mishnah says, if you leave flour with water, g'day hiluch mil, the amount of time it takes to walk a mil is what, 3/5 of a mile. So if you leave it, the amount of time it takes to walk a mil, so that's for sure no shayla. The shayla only begins after 18 minutes. It doesn't begin after 18 minutes. Less than shear mil is no shayla at all. And more than shear mil, also, till seyar. The Mishnah Mem, what we say, Mem Chesam Beis. Say that's going to be 45 minutes. It's going to be an hour and 45 minutes. It's going to take a long time till it even begins. So less than Shir Mil, no Shaila at all. More than Shir Mil, you got to be alert to see that it's not Seyar. So that's the question. How long is a Shir Mil? So the Mishnah Berurah always quotes those poskim and say Shir Mil is 18 minutes. Yeah, how do they figure that one out? So the... It used to be a professor, Leo Levy, who used to teach physics here in the yeshiva. Then he went to Eretz Yisrael. He used to live in the neighborhood. Then he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He was the dean of Machon Lev that was founded by Professor Lev. So Leo Levy pointed out in his sefer that this 18 minutes is really a mistake. It should really be 22 and a half minutes. It's based on the Gemara later. In Perek Misha Hayatame, the ninth Perek in Pesachim, where the Gemara talks about how far can an ordinary Beinoni walk in the course of a day. So if you calculate the Cheshbonos, it comes out to be 22 and a half minutes. So how come some Poskim said that it's 18 minutes? He points out, the Achreidim say, that those who wrote 18 minutes had a different system of time. They didn't have 60 minutes in an hour. They didn't have 60 seconds in every minute. They had a different system. So what they called 18 minutes is the equivalent by us of 22 and a half minutes. The minutes were longer.
It depends what you define as the day. I think if you don't include Shkia,
right. So based on the way we read the Gemara, the way we paskin the Gemara la'alacha, it's really 22 and a half minutes. The 18 minutes is based on a different clock. 24 minutes is based on another sheet in the Gemara. But the 18 minutes is just a mistake. There is no such thing. Mishnah Berurah always quotes 18 minutes. That's not our clocking system. According to our clocking system, it should really be 22 and a half minutes. So if you have what we call Seor, Amen Chesam and Beis, the beginning of the Chimutz process, so then that's called Chametz Nukshi, not allowed to eat it. Either Menatar or Medirabonim, that's the Machleg Shamei Rab Yudah, whether it's the Seor is an Isa Deraisa and Isa Derabonim. Is there any other thing that's considered the beginning of the Chimutz process, but it didn't complete? So yesterday we had the Rashi on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, which Tosfos was not happy with. Rashi said, Mei Peris Eimach Mitzim means it can't become Chametz Dog and Gomor. That's the top line on Lamed Hei Mebeis. Mei Peris Eimach Mitzim means it'll never become Chametz Dog and Gomor. It'll never be Chayv Kares, but it will be Memahe Alahachmetz Tchilas Achimutz process. So Rashi holds that Mei Peris with flour can turn into the beginning of the Chametz process, but it'll never become the Gemar Chametz process. So we're choshish for that Rashi. The meaning is that we don't eat egg matzahs on Pesach. Only cholim miskenim. On Erev Pesach, the Rabbi and Tam used to eat egg matzahs, even though he was choshish for his grandfather to eat on Pesach, but on Erev Pesach he did eat it. And the Rama says beferish like that, that the meaning to be choshish for Rashi, not to eat egg matzah, is only on Pesach proper. Doesn't apply to Erev Pesach. The Rama is talking there in the Darkei Moshe, in his comments on the bottom of the page in the tour. So the Rama is discussing what do you do when Erev Pesach is Cholias B'Shabbos. What are you going to eat for Shalosh Shudas? Because you can't eat chametz after the morning, and Shalosh Shudas you have to eat in the afternoon. So what are you going to eat for Shalosh Shudas? You can't eat matzah. You're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So the Ramah says, an egg matzah you can't eat. Who makes it? No one has any egg matzah. So Ramah doesn't say that it's forbidden to eat egg matzah on Erev Pesach. He says, which Meshuggah is going to make just the Lechem Mishnah, two egg matzahs, to pachke, to get so involved, to make two little egg matzahs. But if you have the Meshuggahim, other companies, they're making egg matzahs, and we have it in the house anyway for the Cholim Meskenim, for the little children. So then the Ramah seems to hold that there's no issue. There's no problem of eating the egg matzah on Erev Pesach. That's like Chacham Avadi Yosef writes about kidneys. That they have, the Svarim have the meaning that they eat kidneys, but he writes, even the Ashkenazim have the meaning not to eat kidneys, but on Erev Pesach it's permissible to have kidneys. The meaning not to eat kidneys only begins on Pesach proper. It doesn't begin on Erev Pesach. So it's over here, the Chumra not to eat egg matzah because of the Rashi. The Rashi holds that May Peris is Mimar Lahachmitz. When it says May Peris Eimachmitz, it means it never become Chametz Dag and Gomer. I said that we're only choshish for the Rashi on Pesach proper. When you have chometz is more chomer, and our Pesach we're mekel on that. Yet you have another case of something that'll become chilos achimutz process. So there is a gemara in the first perek of Psochim. The gemara says, on Zion Amid Aleph, if a man is Mekadosh Anisha with Chometz B'Pesach, so the Kiddushin are no good. That's a Mishnah in the end of the second parak in Kiddushin. If a man Mekadosh B'Kesef, or B'Shove Kesef, has to be Shove Pruto. So what if he Mekadosh B'Disuri Hanoah? So Suri Hanoah considered Eino Shove Pruto. That's a Mishnah. So the Gemara says here on Zion Amid Aleph, if someone is Mekadosh Anisha, Mishay Shos Olamayla, Erev Pesach in the afternoon, B'chite kur denaisa. What do you mean chite kur denaisa? Kur denaisa is a location. Kur d'stan. Where is kur denaisa? Where is kur d'stan? So Rashi writes, Hare Ararot. The Targum Onkelos writes on Hare Ararot, after the Mabul was over, Atonach HaTevo on Hare Ararot. Noach's table landed on Hare Ararot. So the Targum Onkelos calls it kur denaisa. So Rashi says, the chitim that grow over there in Turkey, in that location, Achitim koshim, so when you mix them, when you make flour and you mix it with water, it's the chilas achimutz process will begin, but it's probably not going to become, because they're koshim, it's probably not going to become chametz dag and gomer. So Rashi has that case also. Then you have the Ravid, when the Rambam writes in Perek Aleph and Hilchos Chametz and Matzah, that if you mix flour with water, then the chametz is mine dogan. It's boli de chimutz, but if you mix kidneys, flour, with water, if you mix potato starch, or you mix corn starch with water, so the Rambam says it's boli de sirchon. That's not boli de chimutz. That's how the Gemara said in Laman Hamad Aleph. The chamesh is mini dogon, when you mix them with water, the reaction will be, chemical reaction will be boli de chimutz, and the reaction by other things is boli de sirchon. It won't be boli de chimutz. So there is hasogas harayvid. In the different editions of the Rambam, the Hasagas HaRavid is printed at different places. So in our edition of the Rambam, the Ravid is printed on Meif Peiris. When the Rambam writes, if he mixed flour with Meif Peiris, so he says, it's not Bolei Chimutz, Meif Peiris Eimach Mitzim. So we have the Hasagas HaRavid. The Ravid is Masi Hoz like Rashi. It's not Bolei Chimutz, Chometz Dag and Gomer, but it will be Memar LaHachmitz, it will become Chometz Nuksha. There were other editions of the Rambam where they had the Ravid printed on kidneys, that if he mix kidneys with water, the Rambam says it's sirchon, it's not bole dechim, it's bole de sirchon. So they had the Ravid hasoga, no, but if you mix kidneys with water, then true, it won't be chometz dag and gomer, but it'll be tchilas achimutz process. So according to that reading, the pashtus is, we assume it's a misprint, that the hasoga's Ravid was printed incorrectly on the wrong halacha in the Rambam. But according to that misprint, if that were true, then kidneys would be a chashash of chometz. It would be chometz nuksha. Tosfos interprets in the Gemara that at the home of the Reish Galusa, they used to prepare chasisi. That's mem amid beis, the last line right before the Mishnah. By the Reish Galusa, the workers in the kitchen were not the greatest Yirei Shemayim. Whenever you go away to a hotel for Pesach, you have to know who the staff are. Who are the people who are working in the kitchen? Who are the mashgichim? Are they takim medaktik in the mitzvahs Yerushalayim? Or are they stam nochrim and stam Jewish people? So the Gemara says the workers by the Reish Galusa were not the most pious individuals. They weren't such b'nei Torah. So Rava says it's not right. Ika dushariki hamilsa beduchta dushchichi avdi. You're allowing them to use chasisi in the soup on Pesach by the Reish Galusa. The people working in the kitchen were not so medaktik. So what's chasisi? So Tosfos quotes the pshat from the Pirush Ha'Orach, the bottom line in Tosfos Hamem on the base. The Gemara means to say kidneys. If you'll allow in a place where shchichi avdi, where they're not b'nei Torah, if you'll allow them to mix in kidneys flour into the soup, next thing you know is they'll mix in regular flour and they'll cook it like that and turn it to chametz. So according to the Pirush Ha'Orach, there's a marker in the Gemara for the chumrah of kidneys. It's a gzeira. If you'll allow them to mix in kidneys flour in the soup, next thing you know, they mix in regular flour. The Gemara, however, had this machlek zabiach menuri in the Chachamim about rice, whether oiris is bala dechim or tzanat. So we had it on Lamed Hei Omed Aleph. Then in the end of the Masechta, the Gemara quotes it again, Kuf Yudalan on the base. What's the story? You have to have Shnei Tavshilin on Pesach night. The Mishnah says, Mishnah and Kuf Yudalan Amaral says that on the Kaira you have to have Shnei Tavshilin. So the Gemara has a discussion. What is this Shnei Tavshilin all about? So the Maskana of the Gemara and Kuf Yudalan Amaral says that this was introduced after the Churban HaBayis only. As Mancha Beis Migdush HaYikayim, there was no Shnei Tavshilin, and was introduced as a Zechel HaPesach v'Zechel HaChagiga. Echad Zechel HaPesach v'Echad Zechel HaChagiga. Initially, the Gemara thought that the Tchilos HaSugya Kuf Yudalan Amaral, that this was always a din. Bizman HaBayis also, you got to have Shnei Tavshilin because a more becovered gefil meal is a two-course meal. On Pesach night, it's a Zman Chereseinu, so even the poor people should have a becovered meal. They shouldn't just eat Hamoitzi, Emorer, and Korban Pesach, and Afikayman and Bench. They should have another course, a bowl of soup, or a little kugel, or some vegetable salad. They should have another course in addition to the flesh, in the Mora and the Matzah, have something extra. So that was one opinion in the Gemara, that Afilu Bizman HaMikdash, you need Shnei Tavshilin. Shnei Tavshilin means Asura Chashuva. There's one opinion that for Erev Tavshilin, in the beginning of the second Perek in Beitzah. So there's one version of Beis Shammai, that they hold that when you make an Erev Tavshilin, you have to have Shnei Tavshilin. We don't pasken like Beis Shammai, we pasken like Beis Hillel. But why do they insist Shnei Tavshilin? It means you're preparing for Asura Chashuva, the Kovet Shabbos. Then the din is on an Erev Tisha B'Av, after Chatzos, the Suda Mafsekas, the last meal that you're going to have, you're not allowed to eat Shnei Tavshilin. You're not allowed to have Basa, you're not allowed to have Yayin, you're not allowed to have Shnei Tavshilin. Shnei Tavshilin means a two-course meal, two macholim that are both cooked. That's two mechubedik. So originally the Gemara thought on Kuf Yudalan HaMebeis that the Shnei Tavshilin was a din afilu bezman shabes hamikdash or yekayon. On Pesach night, the Suda has to be a mechubedik, a Suda consisting a minimum of Shnei Tavshilin. Korban Pesach is one of them. You have to have another cooked Michael. Then the Gemara rejects it, that the Shnei Tavshilin was only introduced after the Churban HaBayis, Zecher LePesach. We have in Perek Mokam Shenogu, we have a Machlekes HaKihilis. There are different Minhagim Arayayim Azeh. Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYikayim HaPesach Eila Nechal Ela Tzoli. All the karbanis, you can eat it. Tzoli, shalak, amavushal, cooked, fried, roasted, whatever you want to eat, patros, whatever you want to eat. Korban Pesach has to be rochlis habalav tziyesh, only tziyesh. You can't bashal b'vushal b'mayim is anisa. If you cooked it, it's also to eat it. You have to eat it davket tziyesh. After the Korban Habayis, there were different minhagim developed. So some kilas had a minig b'davket to have tzli as a zecha l'korban Pesach. Many svar the marayam hazeh have that practice. They eat davka broiled meat on Leil Pesach as a zecha l'korban Pesach. And most other kilas by the Ashkenazim, the minig is the reverse. We bedavka do not eat tzli on Pesach night. That people shouldn't think that we're eating kotchim b'chutz. They shouldn't think that we slaughtered a korban Pesach. The meaning is that you don't even eat tzli if it's chicken that's tzli, even though chicken wouldn't be acceptable for Korban Pesach. So what's it going to look like? What are people going to make a mistake? Still, that's the meaning. We don't even allow tzli for Korban Pesach. So we have, there is a concept of making zecher lePesach, zecher lechagiga. So half of many Sfardish shekilas still have the meaning that they'll dafke go out of their way to have tzli on Leil Pesach, to have a zecher to the Korban Pesach. Anyway, that's what the Shnei Tavshilin is all about, to have a zecher lePesach and a zecher lechagiga. So the Gemara has a discussion, these Shnei Tavshilin, what do they have to be? Since one is zecher lePesach, one is zecher lechagiga, which were both Bisar Be'ema, so the Shnei Tavshilin have to both be Bisar Be'ema, or can it even be not Basar at all? So the Gemara says, true, it's zecher lePesach, zecher lechagiga, but Rav Huna said, even silka v'arayza is acceptable. Even if you're going to have cooked beets, silka is beets, v'arayza is orez, is rice. If you have cooked two different vegetables that are cooked, silka v'arayza, that's also good for shnei tavshilin. You don't necessarily have, if you're going to have two pieces of flesh, echad zecher lePesach, echad zecher lechagiga, that's marvelous. That's even a mahadrim and a mahadrim. But if you have silka v'arayza, it's also good. So then the Gemara says, rova haba mahadir, a silka v'arayza. Rava was a Talmud of Rav Huna, so he loved his Rebbe so much, every year he wanted to reminisce about the fact that his Rebbe said even silka v'arayza is good. So rather than do the hidur of having two pieces of flesh, echad zecher lePesach v'echad zecher lechagiga, so the hidur by him was, ho v'nafik min pumi de Rav Huna. Since my Rebbe gave that as a mashal and shir, after the silka v'arayza, every year he wanted to reminisce, to feel as if he's sitting in the shir, and as if the Rebbe is telling him silka v'arayza is good. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, you're having arroza, you're cooking rice. All the neighbors in the neighborhood, they all call rice arroza. Oriz is rice, yeah. So they all call it arroza. So the Gemara says, but what about Rabbi Yechimen Nuri? He holds that it's bole de chimutz. You're going to have rice that was cooked in a pot of water. You're not afraid that it's chametz. The Gemara says, you see, from this, that we're not concerned. We don't hold like Rabbi Yechimen Nuri. There's nothing to worry about. So the Balamor has a comment on that Gemara. If the Gemara wipes off the face of the map, Rabbi Yechimen Nuri, just forget it. We don't worry about him. Who came up all of a sudden with this meaning not to eat kidneys on Pesach, that they don't allow people to eat rice? The Gemara says there's no problem. So that's post-Talmudic. Okay, that's in the days of the Goyim. They came up. Days of the Goyim, days of the Rishonim. It's a little unclear when it came up. They came up with such a Midas Chassidus, and then it became a meaning, then it became a stronger meaning, not to eat the kidneys. And then some point out that according to the Taisus, a mem on the base, the last line, the Re quotes Birusha Aruch, so Rava recommended like that. But if you're in a location where the people running the kitchen are not such Yirei Shamayim, so then you shouldn't allow kidneys. So these are the makaris for kidneys in the Gemara. If you have kidneys, so the Ramah is speaking for Ashkenazim, that the kidneys will be bottled beroiv. You don't need shishim. You don't say tam kik. Usually when you have something that's really treif, so you have to have shishim to be mevatel the tam. And here by kidneys, since it's only a minig, so the Ramah says it's sufficient. If you have roiv, it's bottled beroiv. There's a shach in the second chelik Yeredeya, where the shach writes, he doesn't talk about kidneys explicitly, he talks about something that's osamitam minig, that some people have the minig, other people don't have the minig. So kidneys falls under that category. So the shach quotes a tshuva from the Maharal Bach, Rab Leid Ibn Chaviv, who was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo. He was the one, he lived in Yerushalayim, where most of the Rabbanim in the 1500s lived in Tzfat, because number one, the water was polluted in Yerushalayim, so it wasn't healthy. Number two, they're expecting Bias HaMashiach any day. And the Gemara says, in Erevin, Eliyahu HaNavi would appear, Hinenechu Shalach Lachem Eseli HaNavi, Lefnei Boyom HaShem HaGadol VaHanoira. That's the pasuk in the end of the Haftorah of Shabbos HaGadol. So the Gemara in Erevin understands that to me, Eliyahu HaNavi will come the day before Mashiach. He will come, appear to the Bez Nagodol. He will identify that tomorrow Melech HaMashiach will appear. So where is the Sanhedrin going to convene? So the Gemara Rambam quotes the Gemara in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Esegoli is Golso Sanhedrin, corresponding to the Esegoli is Golso Hashchina, at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, so Esek Galus Galsa Sanhedrin at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. So the Gemara says, and the last location where they were, that's where they're going to reconvene years later, like every day. They met all day long until 5 o'clock, then they went home to visit their wives and do homework with their children. Then they reconvened the next morning. So here also, the last time the Sanhedrin convened was somewhere in the Galil. Usha, Shvarom, Tzipori, Teveria, somewhere over there, all near Tzfat, all somewhere in the Galil. So the Bez Nagar will reconvene wherever the last location was that they met. So that's why, those are the two reasons why in the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Ruba of the Rabbanim lived in the Galil. They didn't want to live in Yerushalayim. Alpi Nigla, because the water was polluted. And the other reason, why the additional reason was that they were hoping to be Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu Navi. In Yiddish, there's an expression, you should be Zecha, to be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu. You should live so long to be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu. But in the Gemara, you don't have that Loshen. You have a Loshen, to Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu Navi. You're going to make a big Kabbalah's Panim, Eliyahu Navi comes. Eliyahu Navi is going to come, appear in front of the Bez Nagadol the day before Mashiach appears. And the Maharal Bach, Reb Levi Mechabiv, was one of the minority of the Rabbanim who did not live in Tzfat. When they did the Chidush HaSmicha, he lived in Yerushalayim and he said, you didn't invite us to your conference. If the Rav of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam writes, if all the Rabbanim gather together and the Rav decide to give Smicha to a person so you can reinvent the Smicha, even though Smicha is supposed to be Ish Mipisha Moshe Rabbeinu, that's if you don't want to have a conference of all the Rabbanim together. If you have all the Rabbanim together and the Rav decide to confer smicha to someone, so then you don't need Ish Mipish. That's how the Rambam writes. Reb Levi Mechabiv says, yeah, but you didn't even invite us. If you would have invited us and we would have come and would have been outvoted, the Rav would have said, give smicha to Rabbi Yosef Karo. The Miut would say, don't give smicha. I understand your father, but you never invited us. So here Reb Levi Mechabiv has other tshuvas as well. He's known for his opposition to the smicha. He wrote a whole kuntras ha-smicha that the Mishlei Melech quotes heavily from, attacking the whole story of the reinstitution of the smicha. And he has other tshuvas. So the Shach in the beginning of the second chelik yeredeh quotes Maharal Bach as saying the following: if you have a treifa pat that only became treif because you cooked something that's not permissible mitam minig, so then once it's ena ben yom, and once you wait 24 hours and the bli is nice and tam levgam, there is no gzeir ena ben yom or ta ben yom, you don't have to kasha. If you cooked something treif in a pat that's only treif midirabbanon, so then the Shach writes in the first chelik yeredeya, even though it's only treif midirabbanon, you still have to, even after ena ben yom, after waiting 24 hours, you still have to kasha, because they made a gzeir ena ben yom or ta ben yom. The Gemara says on the last daf of Maseches Avodah Zarah, the last Amud Aleph of Maseches Avodah Zarah, min haTorah, once you have a treif of pot that 24 hours went by and you didn't use it for hot treifas, then min haTorah you don't have to kasha the pot because the bliya is going to be nice and tam levgam. Every bliya, she'ena ben yomo, is by definition nice and tam levgam. So why do you have to kasha a treif of pot after 24 hours? The Gemara says, you're right, it's only midirabbana, gzeira, ena ben yom, ata ben yom. So one could have argued the point and said that that's only, you only make a gzeira if it's treif min haTorah. So you make a gzeira, ata adin deraisa. But if the whole treifus that the pot has is only treif midirabbana, so you make an gzeira, ena ben yom, ata ben yom, it's a gzeira le gzeira. So do you have the right to make such a gzeira? So the Shach says, yes, we do have the right. Even if the pot is only treif midirabbana, even after 24 hours go by, you still have to kasha the pot. And Nadi Behuda has a tshuva where he disagrees with the Shach. Shach doesn't prove it. The Shach just writes one line, that whether it's an Issa deraisa, an Issa derabbanan, you still have to kasha mid the rabbanan when the kli is ein ben yom. So Rabbi Shlomo Eger and the Gil Yamashah on the side of the Yerid there refers you to the Nadi Behuda's tshuva where he takes issue with the Shach. He thinks that maybe it only applies, he interprets Hagmar Navar Izar like that, that if you have a pot that has a bliya, that's Eina Ben Yoma, the Nadi Behuda interprets the Gemara says like that. If it's only treif mid Rabbanon, so there's no gzeir Eina Ben Yoma at the Ben Yoma. So we follow the Shach, that even though it's only treif mid Rabbanon, still you have to kasher even after 24 hours. But what happens if the pot that became treif is not even treif mid Rabbanon, it's only treif mitam minik? So then Shach himself quotes the Maharal Bach, that there's no gzeir Eina Ben Yoma at the Ben Yoma. So let's say by mistake, someone has Pesach Dikat Pats, Yes, my mistake, not my mistake. Let's say Sfardisha family. They have pots and they always cook rice in the pots. Then the son-in-law is coming for the last day's Pesach. Son-in-law, they fell in, the son-in-law is an Ashkenazi. And he doesn't want to eat any kidneys. So they won't cook kidneys. But are they allowed to use the pot? Are they allowed to use the pot just by waiting 24 hours? So the Shach says, you don't have to kasha the pot. Even if you have a bli of kidneys in the pot, you wait 8 minyama, shine, fine, think that's enough. But the evidence, even if they'll cook within the 24 hours, the din is that it's bottle bereiv. You don't need shishim. So but the evidence, it'll be mutter for sure. But if you wait 24 hours, it's even mutter lachatchila. This din, that whenever you have treifas, you have to have shishim, this is based on the din of tam ki ikar. Even though you have a roiv, let's say I pour a little chazer schmaltz into a pot of vegetable soup, and the soup tastes much schmaltzier now that it has the treifa chazer schmaltz in it. But it's clear that 51%, more than 51% of the soup is vegetable soup, and the chazer schmaltz ingredient is less than 50%. So I really should have said bottle beroiv. 51% is bottle beroiv. Roiv doesn't have to be kefil. You don't need 67% kosher and then 33% treif, even if you don't have kefil. If you have 51% is kosher, 49% is treif, that's called bottle beroiv. So the Gemara says, but if treifus is nice and tam in kosher, that's a din of tam ki ikir. That's a big machlekes. That's the third perik himself in perik elohim. That's a big machlekes. But it is din that you need shishim in order that there shouldn't be the tam of the yisr, even though you have a rive against the yisr, is tam ki ikir. If you can taste the flavor of the chazer schmaltz that's mixed into the kosher soup, if you can taste the flavor, so it's considered tam is ki ikir, as if you're eating a piece of chaza. If you're eating the chaza shmaltz bien, is that a din deraisa or is that a din derabon? So that's a famous machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi holds that tam ki ikir is only derabonon. Rashi and Pesachim in the third perek paskens, the tam ki ikir is only derabonon. It's a long, long Rashi on daf mem hei amid aleph. So Rashi says, you see the upshot of the Gemara. The tam ki ikir is only the rabban, and Tosfos disagrees. Bekama mekaymus, Tosfos quotes the Rashi, and Bekama mekaymus, Tosfos disagrees with the Rashi. They say it's not true that we paskan that tam ki ikir is a din deraisa. See, here there's a problematic Rambam. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, as well as in the Mishnah Torah, writes that there are two lavim against eating chametz b'Pesach. One is if you eat bread, cake, and cookies, spaghetti outright bien, chametz bien. And then there's another iser if you eat food that has a chametz dikah ingredient in it. So the Ramban asks, Mimonavshach, if the chametz dikah ingredient is nice and tam, and then the Rambam says on that iser, in the second iser, if you eat chametz bien, there's koris. If you eat taruvas chametz, there's a lav and there's no koris. So the Ramban asks, what is the Rambam talking about? If he's talking that the chametz succeeded in getting the sinas tam into the mixture, so that's a din of tam ki ikir. The tam ki ikir should yes be chayv koris. Why does the Rambam say that there's no koris? And if you have mixed in and it doesn't succeed in giving tam, so let it be bottle. So let it be mutter. Where do you have such an animal? There's a taruvus of chametz into non chametz, a chametz ingredient into a food item, and it's not nice and tam, and it's awesome in a Torah. Why? If it's an ingredient, it means that there's roiv against it. So right against it, it will only be awesome in our Torah if it's nice and tam. Saying it's nice and tam, it should be mutan. If it's nice and tam, it should be kares. So where do you have such a, the Rambam counts a separate love. You're not allowed to eat taruvas chametz. You're not allowed to eat taruvas chametz, but if you eat it, there's no kares. Manavshach. If the chametz is nice and tam, there should be kares. Saying it's nice and tam, should be mutan. So the Ramban is not happy with the Rambam. The Vilna Gaon in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch suggests that the Rambam doesn't agree with the Ramban. The Rambam holds that tam ki ikir is an isa derais, and this is the mocker like Tosfos, not like Rashi Amen Ham and Aleph. Tosfos' opinion, the Rambam is like Tosfos, tam ki ikir is an isa derais, but the Rambam holds that whenever you eat kosher food that has a non-kosher ingredient mixed in, tam ki ikir, there'll be an isa, but there won't be any chorus. The Vilna Gaon says, it's learned that from this pasuk. The Rambam quotes a pasuk that you're not allowed to eat taruvas chametz, and if you eat taruvas chametz, then you're loike, but there's no isa kares. So he says, according to the Rambam, this is the mocker of tam ki ikir. On tam ki ikir, there's no kares. It's a big chiddush what the Vilna Gaon said. The Makabas HaMishnah has a different answer. Makabas HaMishnah is a chibur that's written on the Rambam in the 1800s, and he always gives the most boring, bland pshat in the Rambam. Instead of giving something fancy like Rab Chaim and like the Oros HaMeach, something out of this world, he gives the most pashut the pshat. He always says it's based on Yerushalmi, and that's what it says in Shait. Very flat. So usually it's boring, people don't like it. And once in a while, what he says is so true, you got no choice, you have to accept it. So here, Rav Soloveitchik said that Rav Chaim thought that the Markevus HaMishnah's pshat was correct. Every so often there's a Markevus HaMishnah that Rav Chaim held was correct. Years ago, there used to be in yeshivas in Eastern Europe and Hungary, they used to learn sugyas. Instead of learning straight, like we're learning imamah, so we went from Dav Beis to Dav Chavav. We covered approximately Dav al Dav, skipped a little bit here and there, but basically we covered Dav al Dav. So there were yeshivas in Europe, but they used to learn sugyas. So they would learn the sugya of Enisa Chalalisa. So they would learn Enisa Chalalisa as it appears on Daf Lamed Hey, and as it appears in Chulin, and as it appears in Maseches Yevamos. They would learn all the sugyas by Enisa Chalalisa. So they published many yeshivas like that. They would learn sugyas. So they published svarim like that. There's a sefer Kesef Nivchar. Kesef Nivchar is a standard sefer where he has alphabetically arranged. Like Enis HaChalalisa is under the letter Aleph, Shoyin. And then he has all the sugyas, whenever there's a crucial taisvis, and then he has a section for Rambam, and then on the Rambam he'll quote what the Magen Mishnah says if it's something of importance. Magen Mishnah, Kes Mishnah, Lecha Mishnah, Mishnah HaMelech, and Merkevus HaMishnah. That's as far as he goes. He quotes everything till Merkevus HaMishnah. So usually Merkevus HaMishnah is boring, and people don't like it. And every so often, boring hind, boring morning, you got no choice. You have to learn like the Merkevus HaMishnah. So here, Rab Chaim thought the Merkevus HaMishnah's pshat was correct against the Vilna Gaon. That was a daring statement. That the Merkevus HaMishnah says, if you read the Rambam carefully and slowly, when the Rambam in Hilchas Chametz and Matzah says there are two lavim in the main Sefer HaMitzvahs, there's one lav for Chametz B'em, one lav for Tarubas Chametz. You eat Tarubas Chametz. There's no kores. He's talking about a Tarubas of Min B'minoi, where it's not nice and tam. If it's nice and tam, the Rambam will also agree that there's chorus. Tam ki iker, there's going to be chorus also. Not like the Vilna Gaon says that this pasuk is the mocker of tam ki iker, and tam ki iker never has chorus. No. Rav Chaim thought like the Merkevus HaMishnah. If you have tam ki iker of an isa with chorus, so there'll be chorus on the Tarubis also. The Rambam is talking about min b'minoi. Then the minute there is none of sinas tam, everything tastes the same. And the Rambam writes, in such a case, if you have kazayis tech kadeh achilos pras, it really should be bottle chad betray, should be bottle beroyf. So that's a chiddush. The tarubas chametz is aser, even though it's min b'minoy, even though you have a roiv of hector, up until the point we no longer have kazayis tech kadeh achilos pras. That's a fantastic chiddush. So that's what the Merkevus HaMishnah says. Read the Rambam slowly and carefully. He's not talking about min b'shein and mina where it's nice and tam. He's talking about min b'minoy where it's ain't nice and tam. So basically, we say the Chametz B'Pesach is B'mashuhu min HaTorah. That's called Mashuhu. It really should, based on the normal rules and regulations, the Chametz B'Pesach should have been bottled. There's a Rav Heter Miyuti, so it's ain't a nice and tam, because it's all Mim B'Mino. And the Rambam says that it's still Aser. So that's called Mashuhu. That's called Mashuhu. That it's not bottled based on the normal rules and regulations. So that's Merkevus HaMishnah has such a fantastic Chiddush. To be mevatel lachatchila, the meaning is that we don't do it. If it happens to be bottle, so we say it's mutter. Let's say, strictly speaking, why does Pepsi, why do all Coca-Cola? Coca-Cola is under the yo-yo. So why does Coca-Cola make special kosher Pesach soda? Because all year long, they don't want to spend so much money to use real sugar. So they use corn syrup. But corn syrup is kidney. So the corn syrup is less than 50%, but it's clearly nice and top. That's why it has the sweet flavor, because of the corn syrup. When it comes Pesach, even though, strictly speaking, we should really say the kidney should be bottled beroyv. So we, in this case, maybe since it's Avidah L'Taima, it's mixed in order to give it an Asinas Tam. So that could be that's considered B'yed. So we wouldn't allow regular Coke on Pesach because of the kidney issue.
High fructose corn syrup. enzyme or something?
That could be. That could be. But even aside from the wheat enzyme, whatever, we wouldn't allow it because of the kidney. So that's why when it comes Pesach, they make soda with real sugar. But some nachrim can tell the difference. A lot of nachrim, when it comes Pesach, they buy cases and cases of kosher Pesach Coca-Cola, and they save it for all year long because they say it tastes better. Okay. So we discussed a little bit the definition of chometz, and we discussed a little bit the mitzvah of matzah, shoin, and the two are connected, because in order to be considered matzah, it has to be called lechem. Lechem oni, in order to be called lechem, has to be dava habola dechimutz. Bola dechimutz is not only a din in matzah, it's a din in hoy bachochem lechem oitz, it's a din in chiyav chala, and it's a din in chodosh. Lechem dekola vekam. Whenever there's a din of lechem, it has to be dafke bola dechimutz. Otherwise, it's not called lechem by definition. And we discussed yesterday the dinim of lechem oni. All of the seven dinim that are based on the fact that it's called oni. Nechel baninus and dvarm shonim all of dvarm harbe and hu ofer v'yishtem masik and prusa, all the different halachas that are based on lechem oni. Okay, we have to speak a little bit about maror. So the topic of maror appears on Lamed Tes Lamed Aleph. Eliyah Brokha Shalom Yotze Be'em Adecha Vosav at Pesach. So there are five vegetables that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Mara Bizman Azeh, the Gemara says in the end of the Masechta. Mara Bizman Azeh is only the Rabbana. Mara is only the Raisa Bizman Shah Beis HaMikdash HaYakayam. And Bizman Azeh, Mara is only the Rabbana. Only, yeah. What does it mean, Bizman Shah Beis HaMikdash HaYakayam? That person is Tomei Oderach HaChoyko. He's not able to eat Korban Pesach. So they say, since Bizman Shah Beis HaMikdash HaYakayam, Mara is the Raisa, if you personally are not eating Korban Pesach, what are you saying? The Mara, or do you say, no, Mara doesn't exist as a mitzvah b'fnei asma. Mara is only what the Gemara calls a daf tzadik, hechshera de pischa. When you're eating a Korban Pesach, so the way to fulfill the mitzvah b'shleimusa is to have it in conjunction with Mara. But if l'maisa, you're not eating a Korban Pesach for whatever reason, tell me v'derech rechayka, then there's no mitzvah of Mara at all. So that's the Rambam sheet is like that. That's a machlokes tesis in the Rambam. The Rambam's opinion is, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam says, I'm not going to count Morer as an independent mitzvah, because it's only purely Hechsher de Pischa. It's only in conjunction with Korban Pesach. Matzah is a machlekes in the Gemara, in the end of the Masechta. So we paskin, the Matzah Bizman Hazeh is their Isa. There was an opinion, the Matzah Bizman Hazeh is also only the Rabbana, but that's not the accepted opinion. We paskan that matzah bizman hazeh is the raisa. The Gemara says there in the end of Arbe Psochim, if matzah bizman hazeh would only be the Rabbanon, the same as Mara bizman hazeh is only Rabbanon, that matzah and Mara only exist as a hechshera de pischa, it's not at all an independent mitzvah, so then Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim bizman hazeh would be the Rabbanon. Because they only have the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim, or Amarti, B'shoshesh Matzah Mara Menachem Lefanach, you have to have something in front of you. So Bizman Shah Beis HaMikdash HaYakayam, you have the Korban Pesach, you say, Babu Zeh. Bizman Zeh, you have Matzah Mora Midirabbanon, so you have Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim Midirabbanon. But if you say, there's no Matzah Bizman Zeh Min HaTorah, there's no Mora Bizman Zeh Midirabbanon, there's no Korban Pesach at all, so then there's no Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim Min HaTorah. The whole Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim is only Midirabbanon. We happen to paskin Natsa. We paskin that Matzah Bizman Zeh is their Raisa. So Mimela Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim is also their rice. But if the Gemara says, if Matzah Bizman Hazeh would have been the Rabbanon, then the whole Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim would have been the Rabbanon. Because the whole mitzvah of Sipa is only Babizeh Lo Yamarti, Ela B'Shosh Sheish Matzah Morer, Menachem Lefanecha. So again, the Rambam sheet is, both in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and in the Mishnah Torah, Rambam is very clear. He says, I'm not going to count Morer as an independent mitzvah, because Morer only tags along with Korban Pesach. It's only Hechshera de Pischa. That's the way to fulfill the mitzvah Korban Pesach Bishlei Musoi. The Rambam quotes a Mechilta that if you eat Korban Pesach, if you eat Korban Pesach without Morer, so b'diyeved yoyoy, say the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. The Morer is not miyakim in the Korban Pesach, but the whole idea of eating Morer is to fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach Bishlei Musoi. That's the Rambam sheet. The Tosfos does not agree with the Rambam. Tosfos read the Gemara Chav Ches Amid Beis. The Meiri points out the two girsas. The Pasuk talks about Oral Tomei V'Derech Rechoyko, who are not able to eat Korban Pesach. So it says, Bohu Deino Echol Avalechol Hu B'Matzah U'B'Morer. Despite the fact that the Oral and the tamei are not allowed, not permitted to eat the korban pesach, but they are obligated to eat the mara. That's the gears of the Balei HaTos Avalochu. That's three lines from the bottom of Chav Ches on the base. Cholor Eloyechol Bo. Bo is a mute. Bo Hu Dein Oyechol. Avalochol Hu B'matza U'B'mor. He's obligated to eat the matzah. He's obligated to eat the mor. So Tosef Shita is that Bizman She Beis HaMikdash Ha'ikam mor existed as an independent mitzvah. Bizman HaZeh, there's no Korban Pesach at all, so there's no mor there, I said. The Rambam holds not so. That it never existed as an independent mitzvah. Yeah, do you have to eat a kazayis of mora? Kazayis of matzah, everybody knows, of course. Yeah. Everything is mitzvah to the kazayis. What about mora? So the Mishnah says the same thing. Alam et esam and aleph. That everything is mitzvah to the kazayis. Umitzvah from the kazayis. That's the fifth line from the top of Alam et esam and aleph. That all of the five vegetables, chazeres, tamcha, charchavinu, ulshin, moror, all of, if you have a little bit of one, a little bit of another, they're all mitzarfim to be mashlim to the kazayis. So you see beferish that you need a kazayis of the korban pesach. So that's why it's a pella on the Rosh. The Rosh later in the Masichta and Arvei Psochim, around Daf Kuf, in Perik Arvei Psochim, the Rosh sounds like he raises a question, do you need a kazayis? He doesn't say explicitly, but he's implicit. He's asking a question, so he says, "Yeah, you need a kazayis because we recite the bracha shekadoshana b'mitzvayis of itzivano halachilas maror." Apparently, it never says in chumash you have to eat maror. It says amatzas and marorim yochluhu, you have to eat the korban pesach, but it never says you have to eat maror. Ein achilah b'chusim mikazayis. So if the chumash would say Tochlu maror, ein achilah b'chusim kazayis. It never says. It says amatzah zemram tochluhu. Tochluhu goes on the korban pesach. So you need a kazayis of the korban pesach. That's beferish in mishnayis. You need a kazayis. But do you need a kazayis of the maror? So the Rosh has no pasuk in chumash. He said, but he knows from the bracha. Since you say al achilas maror, ein achilah b'chusim kazayis. That's it. So that's why you need a kazayis. So the Shagasari is very upset with this Rosh. So he says, why did the chachamim institute a nusach al achilos mor to be mechayvas to eat a kazayis? You should have said al mitzvahs mor. We wouldn't have to eat a kazayis. Who told him to compose such a nusach al achilos? Zog abrach al mitzvahs mor. So you know you wouldn't have to eat a kazayis. So there's something wrong over here with this Rosh. Why did they compose such a bro? And the Rosh is a pella. He's proving for the nusach abrache al achilos mor that he need a kazayis of mor. You should have proven from the Mishnah Lama Tesam and Aleph. It says on the fifth line, a mitzvah from the kazayis. All the five vegetables are mitzvah from the two kazayis. So it says you need a kazayis. So what is he philosophizing about? What do you have to prove from the bracha? So that's what Rab Soloveitchik used to say over the following suggestion. This says, there was one of the Gedolim in the early 1800s, middle 1800s. Rav Leib Shchorev, he wrote a lot of svarim. He wrote on, and he left at Savoy that whoever he didn't have enough money to print all of his manuscripts. So he left a broche in his Savoy that whoever will fund the publication of his svarim will have a refuah shleima if any member of the family who needs it. So remember, years ago, people used to fund, they printed the Chidushim of Rav Leib Shchorev on Yeridei Hilchos Bas B'chalav, they distributed it for nothing. Or they printed his Haggadah Shel Pesach, it's called Bichas Hashir. So they gave it out for nothing, because they wanted as a zgula for a fool for someone who was sick in the family. And now his descendants are printing beautiful, expensive editions of all of the various svarim of his. He wrote many, many svarim. Hilchos Ribis, and on Kiddushin, and Gittin, and Ksubis, and Yivamis, and every Mesicht and Shas. So he has this comment in his Haggadah, almost has completely what Rav Soloveitchik said. He wrote what the Nesivos wrote is safe on Hilchos Pesach. What's it called? Mekor Chaim. So he wrote the comments on the Mekor Chaim that's called the Magen Ho'elef. He wrote Hasogas and comments on the Mekor Chaim by the Nesivos. So he was the late 1800s. Nesivos was the early 1800s. Nesivos was a contemporary of Rebbe Kiveger. And he wrote the late 1800s. He wrote comments on it. So in his Haggadah, Birchas Hashir, he has the following comment. He says that Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash Hayakayim, that Mora was a mitzvah deraisa. the Rosh knows that's enough in a Mishnah, Lametesam and Aleph, that mitzvah from the Kazayis. Of course you need a Kazayis for Mora. The Rosh is only Mesupik Bizmanas, that Mora Bizmanas is only the Rabbanon. Why is it Midir Rabbanon? Why did they introduce it Midir Rabbanon? Zechel HaMikdosh. So that's, but the Rosh is not sure. What's the nature of the mitzvah Bizmanas? Is it that Midir Rabbanon they introduced a mitzvah of Mora? So Mora always was a mitzvah sachila. When Mora was there, I said, you need a chila because I, that's a Mishnah. And Lametes, so Bizmana said, they introduced Mora with the Rabbanon, also a mitzvah sachila. Or did they introduce a mitzvah to make a zechel amigdush? If it's a zechel amigdush, then maybe it's a zechel with a mashu. Maybe you don't need a kazayas. So on this, Safik, the Rosh is poshed, not from the fact that the Nusach HaBracha is al achilas Mora. No, they would have composed a different bracha. Al mitzvahs mora, that's the Shagas Aris Tainan. No, the Rosh is saying from the fact that there is a bracha, period. Why? Because the Aruch raises a question, why don't we recite the bracha when we eat korach? It's a little funny question. Why don't we say the bracha when we eat korach? So in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes, when you say the bracha al achilas matzah, you say the bracha al achilas mora, so you should have in mind that the bracha al achilas matzah should cover also the korach. The bracha al achilas mora should cover the korach also. And you shouldn't talk after you say the bracha al achilas matzah till after you eat the korach, so the bracha will be chal on the korach as well. So in Shulchan Aruch it says you do say a bracha on the korach. The bracha al achilas matzah, al achilas mora, that you said 2 minutes earlier, covers the korach as well. So on the bottom of the page, the Chok Yankiv, who's the famous commentary on Hilchas Pesach, the Chok Yankiv quotes from the Aruch, who asked the same question. Aruch was an earlier Rishon before Rashi corresponded with the Aruch. Rashi quotes the Aruch a lot. Rashi intends to quote the Aruch. So the Aruch raises the question, why don't you say bracha on Korach? So he says, because since the Korach is only a Zecher L'Migdash Kehillel, you don't say a bracha when something is only a Zecher. You only say a bracha when something is an actual mitzvah. It's only a Zecher, there's no bracha. So that's perhaps what the Rosh was driving at. That's how Rav Soloveitchik explained. The Rosh is mesupik. What's the nature of the mitzvah of Mora Bizman Hazeh? Mora Bizman Hazeh is only the Rabbanon. Why did they institute Zechel HaMikdosh? Is that the reason why they instituted the Takana? But the essence of the Takana is that there's a mitzvah of Mora Bizman Hazeh with the Rabbanon. So just like Mora Deraisa needs Kazayis, and Mora Derabbanon also needs Kazayis. Because with the Rabbanon they instituted the mitzvah of Mora. Or perhaps I should assume they never instituted the mitzvah of Mora. They instituted the mitzvah of Zechel HaMikdosh. Where is there a mocker in Tanakh that there's a mitzvah to make a Zechel HaMikdosh? So that the Gemara quotes in Sukkah. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya. Tzion Dorish Ein Lo, Bechlal Debaya Drisha. The Beis HaMikdosh is in a state of Churban, and nobody cares. We live so far away from Yerushalayim, nobody talks about that Beis HaMikdosh, and that's scandalous. Tzion Dorish Ein Lo, and the implication is Bechlal, the inference is Bechlal Debaya Drisha. You really should make a Zechel HaMikdosh. So that was the Rosh's Sofek. What's the nature of Mora Bizman Hazeh? Is it a mitzvah of Zechel HaMikdosh, in which case you don't need a Kazayis? Or he's saying because of the reasoning, because of the consideration to make a Zechel HaMikdosh, they introduce a mitzvah of Mora, so Mela you would need a Kazayis. So the Rosh proves it from the fact that there is a bracha, not from the fact that the bracha is al achilas Mora as opposed to al mitzvah Mora. So who tells you to make a bracha al achilas Mora? From the fact that there is a bracha, if it would have been only a mitzvah of Zechel HaMikdosh, he wouldn't have said a bracha. This is how Rav Soloveitchik interpreted the Rosh on Daf Kuf. That's basically what it says in the Sefer Birchas Hashir. So lulav is taka machlekes in the Gemara. Well, the lulav kol shiva you say a bracha. And the simple reading of the Gemara is the issue is whether you say a bracha on Mikra Megillah, whether you say a bracha on their Chanukah, whether you say a bracha on their Rabbanans. So the Gemara says over there, the one who says that you say a bracha lulav kol shiva would say you say a bracha on Megillah and on their Chanukah. It's the shayla where they say kedushana b'mitzvos v'tzivonim on a derabbanon. That's a simple reading in the Gemara. So the Sfasemis comments on that Gemara. The Gemara could have split over here. The Gemara could have said that lulav kol shiva is only a zechel amigdosh, so that you shouldn't say a bracha. Masha'enikein mikra Megillah hadlokas neres Chanukah. It's not a zecher, so that you should say a bracha. But the Gemara didn't say that. Svasemis points out the Gemara could have split between the two. Yeah, but if you have a Sfiras Omer, is a discussion whether Sfiras Omer There's a question whether Sfira Soim Ibn's man is as their Isa their Rabbon. You're supposed to count Sfira Miyom Haviyachem Mesoim Hatnufa, starting from the first day Chalamoit Pesach. So that's a Shaila Bizman Azeh. It's the day on which Muchayev to bring the Korban Mincha Soimer, but Lamaisa we don't bring it. So should we assume that Sfira Soim Ibn's man is as their Rabbon, or should we assume that is their Isa? So that seems to be a machleika. So the Balei HaTosfos in Menachos on Daf Samach Vav and Aleph, Tosfos assumes that that's the Maskanas HaGemara. Gemara says it at one line. Tosfos assumes that is the Maskanas. That's Sfira Soim Ibn's man is as the Rabbanon. That's the accepted opinion in Shulchan Aruch. And the later Poskim pointed out, hey, we've been asleep for many generations. The Rambam sounds like it's a din d'oraisa, and the Goyim hold that it's a din d'oraisa. No one else quoted that Gemara, just the Balei HaTosfos quoted. Balei HaTosfos assumed that that line in the Gemara remains lemaskana, that Sfira Soim Ibn's man is as only the Rabbanon. The Rambam, the Goyim clearly disagree. They never said it's the Rabbanon. They quote all the Pesukim, they quote that it's a real din d'oraisa. So that's a shaila if we should assume that Sfira Soim Ibn's man is as only the Rabbanon, and the whole thing is only Zecha LaMikdash. Does it mean that because of the consideration of Zecha LaMikdash they introduce a mitzvah of Sfira Soimer? Or no? There's no mitzvah of Sfira Soimer b'zman hazeh. It's a mitzvah to make a Zecha LaMikdash. But we do say a bracha. So there's a Balamor later in Psachim. Balamor talks about why do we say a bracha on Sfira Soimer? It's only a Zecher. So he said that's part of the Zecher. Part of the takana was to say a bracha. So Mechudish Dik Balamor seems to be assuming like this Aruch, that whenever you have a mitzvah that's only a zecher, it doesn't make sense to recite a bracha. Okay, that's an issue. That's an issue. He mentioned earlier today that in the last perek there's a machlekes hatanoim where the charoisis is a mitzvah mid the rabbanon. It's not mitzvah in Atar. Is charoisis a mitzvah mid the rabbanon? Or is charoisis only mishum kippah because of the worm? That the worm is a kosher worm, but it's unhealthy. The kippah is on kuf tezvav on the base. Kippah is the toilas. It's unhealthy to swallow a live worm, so you want to kill it first. Either you drown it or it dies from the smell of the charoisis. The Gemara has two pshatim. You have to actually dip the mor into charoisis to drown the worm, or you hold it on top of the charoisis, it'll also die from the... Anyone can die from the smell of charoisis. It's so potent. Okay, so the Gemara has a two pshat. How do we paskin? Do we paskin the charoisis and mitzvah? Or do we paskin charoisis is only for medical purposes to kill a worm? So that's a machlekes the Rambam and the Rambam. A stira, it's unusual. A stira between the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos and the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. The Lacha Mishnah points out it's a double stira. The Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos writes that obviously we don't accept the opinion of the Tanner of Lesber Absorik that Charoisis is a mitzvah, because if he would have accepted his view, we would have had another bracha in the Haggadah. Shekadishana b'mitzvah sevitzivano al achilas Charoisis. So from the fact that no Haggadah has this nusach, is a rai brura that we paskan Charoisis is not a mitzvah, even with the Rabbanon, it's only for medical purposes, only mishum kippah to kill the worm. As opposed to the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, where the Rambam passes Charoisis is a mitzvah in the Rabbanon, every so often there's a contradiction between the Pirush HaMishnayos, which was written earlier, and the Mishnah Torah, which was written later. So this is one of them, the Lacha Mishnah points out. And the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah writes, Charoisis is a mitzvah in the Rabbanon, and you still don't say a bracha. Despite the fact that it's a mitzvah Rabbanon, you don't say a bracha. The question is, why not? If it's taka mitzvah in the Rabbanon, don't you say a bracha? So the Tur raises the issue, and the Tur says that just like there's a din of ikir and tofel, birach al ikir poter satfelo, that says someone is eating baked potatoes and he melts butter or margarine on the potatoes. So the bracha on potatoes is adama. Bracha on the butter or the margarine is shahakal. But if he melts the butter on the potatoes, so you say a bracha on the ikir and you poter the tfelo. Butter pi adama doesn't fit in on butter. But that's the halacha. You say bracha on the ikir, you don't have to say bracha on the tofu. So the Tur assumes that halacha, birach aluika, patar satvelo, which is a Mishnah in Ketzad Mavarchim, in the middle of brachas, birchas hanenin, he assumes that it applies also to mitzvahs. If you have two mitzvahs, one mitzvah is the ikir, one mitzvah is the tofel, so we'll also say birach aluika, Potter is atfelo. That's a Tosfos Kuf Chof Aleph and Aleph. the last Tesis in the Mesichta. That's the very last Tesis in the Mesichta. Mesichta ends on Kuf Chafalaf and Beis with four lines of Gemara. So the last Tesis in the Mesichta quotes a Yerushalmi that says Beferish like that. That the rule of Birch Alika Patos HaTvela is not restricted only to Birchas HaNenin, it even applies in the area of Birchas HaMitzvah, and the Tur claims that that's the explanation, the Tur and many other Rishonim say, that that's the explanation for the Rambam. No bracha is recited on the Charoses, because the Charoses is really a tofel to the Morah. The mitzvah is to dip the Morah into Charoses. Charoses is a separate mitzvah, but since you said a bracha on the Morah, there's no need to say a bracha on the Charoses. Rav Soloveitchik suggested a different shot. He didn't like that shot in the Rambam. So he suggested a different shot. That what is the mitzvah of Charoses? If you hold Charoses is a mitzvah, what is the mitzvah? So we said earlier today that the Gemara has three reasons. The Gemara, the Babli Kuf Tezayin Amud Aleph, has two explanations. Either Zecher Letit or Zecher Letapuach. The Pasuk says Tachas HaTapuach or Ratichon Shir Hashirim Chapter Ches. So either Zecher Letit, Zecher Letapuach. Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi that it should be Zecher Ledam. It should be red, the color of blood, Zecher Ledam. So it's three times Zecher. Fine, three different Zechers. So we do all three. So the Rav Soloveitchik thought, based on the Loshon HaRambam and Hilchos Chametz and Matzah, that the reason why no bracha is recited over the Charoses, despite the fact Charoses is a mitzvah, because the whole mitzvah is to make either a Zecher Ledam, or Zecher Letapuach, or Zecher Letitz, and whenever a mitzvah is a Zecher, like the Oruch said, no bracha is recited. What's the Hesber? Why should no bracha be recited if the mitzvah is a Zecher? So he said, because there's no Maisa HaMitzvah. You only recite a bracha when you perform a Maisa HaMitzvah. When you do a mitzvah of zecher, so you do the charoses, but just to conjure up in your mind an image. You really want to remind yourself, you want to reminisce about the tapuach, about the tit, or about the dam. So since it's a mitzvah that's fulfilled without really having a maisa mitzvah, so there's no maisa mitzvah, so no bracha is recited. That was Rav Soloveitchik's interpretation. That Rambam is, but it's a double steer in the Rambam. In the Pirush HaMishnayos, the Rambam says, if the din would have been like Rav Elazar ben Tzaddik, that Charoses is a mitzvah, you would have said a bracha. In the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam paskens that Charoses is a mitzvah, and the Rabban, you don't say a bracha. That's one stira. According to Rav Elazar ben Tzaddik, Charoses is a mitzvah, do you say a bracha or not? And the other stira is, how do you pasken? So in the Pirush HaMishnayos, the Rambam says, it's a dead giveaway. Nobody has a bracha on Charoses, so obviously Charoses is not a mitzvah. And they say, from mitzvah, the Rambam does paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, that Charoses is a mitzvah. That's what the Lecha Mishnah points out. It's a double stira in the Rambam. My father learned by Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik. So he said, Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik used to say, once in a while there's a stira between the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos and the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. So he said, you have to work hard to understand what did the Rambam say before he backed out. You can't just say the Rambam backed out. The Rambam before he backed out was also a Rishon, was also a Rambam. So what's the difference? What's Machalek is the Rambam and the Rashbo, or the Rambam and the Rambam. The Rambam Koidim Chazar was also an Adam Gal, also Rish. So you have to understand. So it's interesting, the Rambam, the way it's printed, we should really check it in Kapach's translation. The way it's printed in the Pirush HaMishnayos, the Rambam says, if the din would have been accepted like Rav Elazar ben Tzaddik, we would have recited a bracha. What bracha? Asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzimanu al achilas charoses. Al achilas charoses. If you hold charoses mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to eat a kazayis of charoses, and they say al achilas charoses. That's what it sounds like from the Pirush HaMishnayos. We should really check. I never check. We should really check in Kapach's translation. Maybe there's something fishy. See, if you look in the Mordechai, the last page in the Mordechai Yom Psochim, it's page 76 in the normal editions. So the Mordechai has a kashen. How is it physically possible to swallow three kazaisim vasachas? You swallow kazais, matzik, hilul. Hilul used to eat karchim vasachas v'ochlan kaim hashinema al matzis imroim yachlu. So the Mordechai is bothered with a kasha. How can the Beis Habliya swallow three kazaisim vasachas? Kazais matzah, kazais morer, and a kazais charoises. Kazais charoises. Kazais charoises. Who says you need a kazayis charoses? That's the way it says in the original manuscript. So then they put the word charoses in parentheses, They put in brackets the word Pesach. These are the Haggos from the Talmidim of the Ramah. It says in every Mesichta when they print a Mordechai, so they write in the first page that all the things in the brackets are Haggos written by the students of the Ramah. The Ramah used to give shir. Like we give shir on Shulchan Aruch, Rambam, the Ramah used to give a shir on the Mordechai. So the Ramah made a Haggah. Who's talking about eating Kazayis Charesis? Kacha Yosef Hillel, who used to put together Pesach Matzah Umaror. We mentioned yesterday, that's what it says in the Yerushalmi and Challah, that his mancha beis hamikdash or yekaim Hillel would do kriicha Pesach Matzah Umaror. His mancha ain beis hamikdash kaim you have Matzah Umaror. But Zman HaMikdash had all three together. And the Rambam's girsa was, no, kach ha'yo heilo lo'isa, ha'ikach matzah mor. The Rambam holds, I never ate Pesach together. He only ate the matzah and the mor together. The Rambam's against that Yerushalmi. So he, the way the Rosh, the way the Ramah is magia, the Mordechai is writing like Rov HaRishonim. You eat Pesach, matzah, umaror, all together. You don't need a kazayis charos. You eat kazayis of a carbon Pesach. So that's his kasha. That the Gemara says that the Beis HaBliya is only machzik kibetza. The din is that oichel pachas mi kibetza is mekabel tuma, but it can't transmit tuma. Harino doesn't transmit tuma. So Gemara learns mekol oichel asheicha mekol mashka sheishas b'chol kli yitma leitami acherim. If it's oichel asheiochel oichel anechel bevasachas v'shir rachachomim, that the Beis HaBliya is only machzik kibetza. Beis HaBliya can't be machzik. You can't swallow more than a kibetza. Vasachas, you'll choke. So he's bothered with Akasha. He's assuming that there are two kizaisim in a beitza. That's a machlokes, but the kizais is a shlish beitza or chatzi beitza. We were talking about it yesterday. Someone said they read the essay by Dr. Slifkin. So the Mordechai is assuming that a kizais is a chatzi beitza. So he asks Akasha, how can you swallow three kizaisim if two kizaisim equal a kibetza? Beis HaBliya is not machzik more than a kibetza. So he answers the kasha by saying, Beis HaBliya, if you swallow a hard-boiled egg the way it is, and the hard-boiled egg is a beitza gedolus, not a beitza beninus, then you're going to choke. You can't swallow. But if you chew it up, and it's granulated, then you can shove down the throat more than a kibetza b'vasachas. So that's what the Mordechai answers. You chew up the kazayis matzah, kazayis mora, korban peso, you chew everything up, and then you swallow it b'vasachas. So he says the Beis HaBliya can't be machzik, all of that, even though it's yosem mikibetz. He can't swallow more than a kibetza if it's one big chunk of meat. But once you chewed it up and it's granulated, so then you can't swallow even a beitza or machzik. The Magen Avraham quotes from the Truma Sadesh and commenting on this Mordechai, what's the problem? How can you swallow three kizesim of basach? Who says you have to swallow b'basachas? Eat a turka de achilas pras. Who says that it's necessary to swallow the vasachas? So he says, he see from the Mordechai Achidush, the Truma Sadeshin says. Even though it says all over Mishnah and Gemara, that if you eat chatzi zayis, now chatzi zayis, later toka de achilas pras, it'll be mitzvah. That's only b'di'evet. But as a mitzvah, b'shlei musa, as a hidur, you should really swallow b'bliachas. You shouldn't swallow b'zachazet toka de achilas pras. So that's what the Magen Avraham quotes from the Truma Sadeshin. He recommends whenever you eat the gazayis matzah, the gazayis morer, whatever you're eating a kazayis of, you should swallow it, you should chew it up in your mouth, accumulate it, and then swallow the full kazayis b'vasachas. They quote in the name of Rab Chaim that he didn't think that that was correct. In the Gemara, whenever it says toch de achilas pras, sounds like that's good l'chatchila. That's called the achila b'vasachas. So what's the Mordechai's problem? Why did the Mordechai think he's swallowing kazayis matzah, kazayis mor, and kazayis korban pesach all b'vasachas? So they quote in the name of Rab Chaim, if you eat a half a kazayis now, half a kazayis later, it's been star from yachad for the purpose of the mitzvah of matzah. If it's matzah and matzah, it's been star. If it's mara and mara, it's been star. If it's a half a kazayis of korban pesach and half a kazayis of korban pesach, k'doch k'de achilas pras, that's the halacha l'moshe m'sinai. That the shear of toch k'de achilas pras is mitzarefin. But Hillel holds you have to eat pesach, matzah, umara together. That's how he read the pasuk al matzah hem yachluhu together. So together, toch de achilas pras is not called together. Toch de achilas pras is halacha l'moshe m'sinai is mitzaref matzah with matzah more and more. It can't be mitzaref matzah and more. It's similar to what it says in the Gemara memhei amar aleph, the last line right before the Mishnah. The Gemara there talks, there's a machlokes hatanaim where the hetem itzar fli yisr, or ein hetem itzar fli yisr. Let's say a person is eating a ham sandwich. So the ham alone is less than a kazayis. But the bread with the ham together adds up to a kazayis. So the fellow ate a kazayis. What's the reason why you don't get malchus if you eat less than a kazayis? Ein achila p'chusim mikazayis. Here he ate a whole ham sandwich. So at the end of the day, he ate a kazayis, part of which was ham. So do you say he did an achila on ham? Because he ate a kazayis, and part of the kazayis was ham. So that's a machlekes hatanaim. So some tanaim paskin hetem mitztaref liyisa. The kosher bread is mitztaref to the ham to be considered an achila of kazayis. We paskin ain't hetem mitztaref liyisa in most areas. There are a couple of exceptions to the rule, but hetem is mitztaref liyisa. But as a rule, generally, ain't hetem mitztaref liyisa. So the Gemara says that this din hetem mitztaref liyisa only applies if you swallow mamish bebli achas, bebli bevas achas. But if you swallow isa v'yisa tochkedei achilas pasa, it'll be mitzdarif. If you swallow heta v'yisa tochkedei achilas pasa, it won't be mitzdarif. Din of tochkedei achilas pasa alok l'moshim is Sinai. It was only formulated that isa is mitzdarif, chazer is mitzdarif to chazer, is mitzdarif to more chazer. If everything was tochkedei achilas pasa. But the kosher bread should be mitzdarif with the treifa chazer, to make it into kazayis tochkedei achilas pasa, that not. The only time you say hetem and starf liyisr is mamish bevasachas. That's how the Gemara says, the last line before the Mishnah mem hem announced. So that's what Rab Chaim claimed when he got to this sheet of Hillel. Kacha yosa Hillel, bizman shabes hamikdash ha'ikayim, he used to eat Pesach matzah umaror, the halacha l'moshe mesinav tuk d'achilas pras can only mitzarf Pesach with Pesach. It can be mitzarf matzah with matzah, it can be mitzarf morah with morah. It can be mitzarf Pesach with a matzah, matzah with morah. So for that, that's where the Mordechai was bothered with the kasha. You have to swallow mamish b'bli achas. So how can the beis abliya swallow three kezesim? It's a beitza machza. Ein beis abliya machza geisim mikid beitza. So that he answered, if you chewed it up, it'll be mitzvah. But let's say when you're eating matzah alone, when you're eating mor alone, so Reb Chaim held the reason against the trumas hadeshen. There's no need to chew it all up and to swallow l'chatchila. But b'bli achas mamish. If you swallow, toch kedei achilas pras is a perfect. He thought that there was no marker for this Mordechai. Yeah, but getting back, why did I quote the Mordechai? I wanted to quote the Mordechai because according to the old Girsan, the Mordechai, which the Ramah thought was nonsense, according to, maybe the Ramah is probably right, kazayis chayrois. But according to the old Girsan, the Mordechai is talking about eating akazayis chayroises. That's what it sounds like from the Pirush HaMishnah Yisrael Rambam. The Rambam said, if the din would have been like Rav Lezber of Tzadik, that chareisus is a mitzvah, we would have had to say a bracha, she could have shown a bit mitzvahs of tzivanu, al achilos chareisus. There would be a mitzvah to eat a kazayis of chareisus. You say a bracha al achilos chareisus. There is a third source also for this. The Ramo and the Darkei Moshe on the bottom of the tour quote some Rishonim who say that just like it's the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. The Yerushalmi says, you're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. It's like boil our risosa. We want to build up your expectation, build up your kadesh yechol matzah l'teyovoin. So too, you shouldn't eat moror on Erev Pesach, kadesh yechol moror l'teyovoin. And you shouldn't eat fruits on Erev Pesach, which are going to be ingredients in the charoises, kadesh yechol charoises l'teyovoin. So the Ramah is extremely upset on the fruits. He says, who eats charoises? Charoises, you dip the mor into the charoises, then you have to shake off all the charoises. You don't have to eat charoises, period. You don't have to eat charoises l'teyoven. Charoises only for the purpose of dipping in the mor. So, and then he's not so happy about the mor l'teyoven either. The Yerushalmi only says, kolach ha-matzah b'er pesach ki l'boil ha-resos b'beis chomov. And the Rishonim said, Bachlos, how does it say? Be'erev toch lematz is be'erev v'lo bayom. Some wanted to make it into an issa deraisa. Just like the Gemara says, you're not allowed to eat korban pesach bayom. Normally, when you bring a korban shlomim, see, toidoy, see, eat a yom v'layla ad chatzos. Here, when you bring a korban pesach bayom, you're not allowed to eat it bayom. That's the Gemara in the bottom of mem aleph on the base. The Gemara says, ve'achlas habasa b'layla zah, b'layla en bayom lo. You're not allowed to eat the korban pesach bayom. You can only eat it b'layla. So the same diuk that the Gemara made, Vachas Habasa Balayla Azeh, so the Rishonim said the same thing, Be'erev Toch L'Matzah, Be'erev Elo Bayom, it's an Isser. It's an Isser to eat the Matzah Bayom. So they wanted to make it as if that din in the Yerushalmi, Kolo Echal Matzah, Be'erev Pesach, is over on Issa de Rabbanan. They want to make it as if it's an Issa de Raisa. All right, so by Matzah, it's a Yerushalmi, but to extend it to Maror, Kadesh Yechon Maror Leteyovan also. So that's questionable. But then they extended it further, even to Charoises. So the Rambam makes fun, who eats Charoises? But you have three sources who seem to indicate, you have the Pirush HaMishnayis LaRambam, maybe a mistranslation. Then you have that line, which probably is a misprint, a line in the last page in the Mordechai. Then you have this Rishon that the Rambam quotes in the Darkei Moshe. All three say that somehow there's a mitzvah to eat a Kazayis Charoises. That's why some Amahad there. Since the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah does adopt the position of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok that Charoises is a mitzvah, so some Rishonim seem to hold that Charoises is a mitzvah to eat a Kazayis of Charoises. Yeah. But it's usually assumed the normal sheet is that Charoises is to dip the Maror in. To dip the Maror in. It's not to eat Kazayis of Charoises. Yeah, what about horseradish that we mentioned earlier? That there are those who are not so convinced that horseradish al pibashtus may well be a mistake. I used to learn mecharusa with Rabbi Neuberger's older brother. He's a medical doctor. So he's a doctor now in Flatbush in the hospitals here. So he said that the worst night for Orthodox Jews in New York City in the emergency ward is the two nights of Pesach where the people eat horseradish and they get sick. Or they drink arbicosis and they're not allowed to, they get sick. Or they stuff themselves with matzah and they get sick. So he used to say, this is Zman Chei Reseinu. This is how he demonstrates Zman Chei Reseinu, we get sick. That's ridiculous. A person has to be careful not to get sick on Pesach night. So the horseradish is very questionable.
You mentioned that one of the reasons for dipping the horse is maybe for the worms.
Yeah.
You said the worms are...
Tosis explains why the worms are mutter, but it's unhealthy.
Even while they're alive, it's mutter?
Yeah. If it's a kosher worm, then it's mutter even while it's alive. That's on Kuf Tezvav HaMebeis. Tosis Dima Maschel Kippo. So they refer you to the Gemara in the end of Eila Treifa. So the Gemara has a whole discussion about which worms are kosher, which worms are treif.
But how are you allowed
to kill the worm? On Yontif and Sheichet is good. If it's a tzorich of nevish on Shabbos, how can you kill the worms on Shabbos? You got a problem. Okay. But the whole purpose of dipping the mor into the charoises is in order to kill the worms. So it's not called the dovish shein of miskaven. If they're there, that's what I want to do. I want to kill the worms.
We don't know if they're there.
But still, that's a dovah hamiskaven. So it should be a sofik deraisa. That's what I want to do. Okay, we'll leave that tomorrow. We will continue. Regular time is okay with me, unless people want to have a different time. Who plans to be here tomorrow? For the people who plan to be here tomorrow, does it make a difference what time?
Okay. I see you once earlier.
No.
Regular time. What's
the one? Once in a while, shouldn't you just start killing the lice on Shabbos?
Could be.
Why are the worms much? Are they much because we assume they're too small or spontaneous and generated or something?
No.
Different reason? Okay.
Different reason. They didn't crawl on the ground.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mine's genius.
Mark. So I'll be making goals soon enough, right next to the chef, number
13. That's my goal.
13. Mark, so now I'll just send it to your, you want to send the link to your friend.
Oh, sure.
What? How do I listen to
her? Listen to the issue.
Just like certain minutes.
I didn't realize that, like, white toy I had was, like, I'm going to make a collection of all my ideas.
No, you can't hear you. I mean, you can hear you.